Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Next week marks a special anniversary, half a century since the death of 20th century Pope Pius XII. The exact date was the 9th of October 1958, and it brought an end to a pontificate which had begun for the former Cardinal Eugenio Pacelli on the 2nd of March 1939, almost 20 years earlier. Gone down in history as the wartime pope, in recent years Pius XII has often been accused of alleged silence regarding the horrors of the Holocaust, but also of not doing enough to help the Jewish people survive this dramatic chapter in their lives. Are these accusations really justified? If you wish to know more about what really happened, listen on, and then make up your own minds regarding this matter.
Di persone le quali senza veruna colpa propria, talora solo per ragioni di nazionalità o di stirpe, sono destinate.
Hundreds of thousands of persons, through no fault of their own, sometimes only for reasons of nationality or race, are destined to death or to a gradual extinction.
I cui orrori noi già fin dall'inizio più volte denunziammo.
It was Christmas 1942, and war had been raging for over 3 years. Pius XII had consistently, persistently denounced the horrors of the war and of the Holocaust. His appeals for peace fell on deaf ears. His appeals for humanitarian relief did not.
The humanitarian work of Pius XII during the tragedy of World War II was extraordinary. Because the human dimensions of the greatest war of history are staggering. Millions and millions of dead. And many more millions were innocent victims of the struggle of war, violence, bombing, deportations, starvation, and all that. And from the very first day, Pius XII knew that from his experience in World War I.
Jesuit historian Father Robert Graham, foremost expert on the Vatican and World War II, helped research and write 4 volumes of correspondence focusing on the Vatican's humanitarian activity during those tragic years of war.
A non-political activity, for which now they criticize him for not being political enough. He was a non-political voice, an angel of relief for millions and millions and millions of people.
That opinion was echoed in an editorial in the New York Times of Christmas 1942.
In these circumstances, no one would expect the Pope to speak as a political leader, or a war leader, or in any other role than in that of a preacher ordained to stand above the battle, tied impartially, as he says, to all people, and willing to collaborate in any new order which will bring a just peace.
We cannot judge him in the context of today. We have to consider what the situation was at that particular time. A few of the sisters told me how frightened they were when the Nazi soldiers or the fascist soldiers would knock on the door and ask them if they had any Jews hidden.
Sister Margherita Marchione spent several years collecting testimonies from some of the thousands of Italians whose lives were saved thanks to Pius XII's strategy of action.
In 3 of our convents right here in the city of Rome.
This was actually something Pope Pius XII asked religious to do in those war days, wasn't
it? Yes, he did. He spread the word by word of mouth because it was impossible for him to put in the newspapers what would have happened. The Nazis and the fascists would have gone directly to all the convents and monasteries. He recommended to all the superiors of the convents and monasteries and different parishes to open the doors and to help save the Jewish refugees.
Israel Zolli, chief rabbi of Rome during those years, confirmed this in his autobiography.
The Holy Father sent by hand a letter to the bishops, instructing them to lift the enclosure from the convents and monasteries so that they could become refuges for the Jews. I know of one convent where the sisters slept in the basement, giving up their beds to Jewish refugees. In the face of this charity, the fate of so many of the persecuted is especially tragic.
So impressed was Zolli with Pius XII's zeal in helping the Jewish people that when war was over, he converted to Catholicism, taking the Pope's name, Eugenio. But Rabbi Zolli was not the only one to recognize the Pope's zeal in defending the Jewish people. In January 1945, an extreme fascist, Roberto Farinacci, lamented.
For a few years, Pope Pius XII has fully espoused the Jewish cause to the point of offending the sensibilities of his flock. We never imagined that our pastor, the Vicar of Christ, the head of the Church, could one day be regarded as the most influential defender of the interests of the Jewish people.
Rather than being a silent pope, then...
He was a pope of action, I would say.
He worked in silence.
He did. He had what I would call an underground railroad. And some authors have actually attributed saving the lives of 800,000 Jews and other refugees to Pope Pius XII himself through his representatives, who were the sisters and the priests and the monks in the different areas, and actually in the Vatican itself. Pope Pius XII was able to keep hidden in the Vatican thousands of Jews, not only in the Vatican itself, but in Castel Gandolfo. At his summer estate, for all the years of the war, Pius XII did not go to his summer estate because during that period he had these people hidden. And I have a lovely photograph, Veronica, that shows in a room of Castel Gandolfo about 20 women holding their babies in their arms and feeding them and just living in the apartments of the Holy Father.
Did you ever see any of the refugees in Castel Gandolfo? Oh,
surely, because one of my headquarters was the Papal Villa, and women with their children were actually to the beautiful crucifix in front of the Papal apartments. You'd go and you'd find women bathing their children. The staircase leading up there, on every step, there was somebody sleeping.
Monsignor Carol Abbing worked closely with Pius XII in organising a relief network for thousands of people on the battlefronts south of Rome.
The Castelli, we were cut off practically from Rome, any kind of regular communication. Pius XII was always he looked right through to the substance of something. And he might say, well, why are you telling me this? And he said, what do you plan to do? You see, which was logical. I'd actually not planned to do anything. And I said, well, I wouldn't even know how to begin. But I know these people, tens of thousands of people living in the caves, are desperately making little caves themselves to get underground because they're terrified. Every day, bombardments and all. Their worldly goods are all there. Their wine is in the little wine cellars. And if they move, they lose everything, as I was able to see later. So I don't know what, but I said, I think that we should have a better picture of what it is, you see.
So you're talking about thousands of people, are you?
I'm talking about thousands of people, yes. So I said, I'd just like to see what can be done. And he said, God bless you, he said, let me know how I can help you. Without thinking of his own safety in any way, people never seem to value what happened. Were the Nazis happy about him? We say he never denounced them. It's not true. I was present every time the New Year greetings to the diplomatic corps. And it's chilling. I used to shiver listening, and I'd look round and I'd see some of the diplomats with their drawn faces because these words are... they might bring a thunderbolt in the next day.
¶¶ If the Gestapo had crossed the border between Italy and Vatican City, they would have found refugees hiding everywhere.
In November 43, by and by the house got filled with people hiding from the Nazis for various reasons. Some because they were of Jewish race or origin, some of their political or military position. Also several young fellows, for the young people, who hide in order not to be drafted.
Eva Maria Jung Iglesias was one of those who found asylum inside Vatican City.
The college. So they were sleeping in the museum inside these ancient sarcophages. At least they were safe for a moment. And we made a service day and night round the clock of two who had to watch in case the SS would arrive. Had to be aware of this possibility that the Germans would come in, but fortunately they didn't.
And it was also from the Vatican that prisoners of war could keep in touch with their families.
Calling its correspondent in Bombay. The Vatican Radio is calling its correspondent in Sydney.
The Germans, they thought it was a source of espionage and they would have nothing to do with it. And there was no messages from the Vatican Radio to Germany because it was prohibited to listen to the Vatican Radio. And that was a sore point with Pius XII. As I said, they had a phobia, the Germans did, that this was an intelligence operation. Well, that just shows how little freedom of action the Vatican had in doing this charitable work. But it went ahead just the same. And it was a matter of great pride and consolation for the Pope to be able to demonstrate in this public way of his concern for the victims of war.
In England, after the war, the Illustrated London News acclaimed Pius XII as a hero. Winston Churchill's first cousin, Sir John Leslie, recalled.
I remember the Illustrated London News just after the war had a great double sheet coloured photograph of what they called Pius the Great. And it gave a resume of his life underneath. And they looked upon him as a great force for good in the war, which of course he was. And he became a hero, I'd say, the Pope, to England after the war.
And when the war was over, the Rome Jewish community hung the following notice in the city's Museum of Liberation.
The Congress of the Delegates of Italy's Jewish Communities, held in Rome for the first time after the liberation, feels profoundly the duty of directing reverent homage to your holiness and to express the profound sense of gratitude which animates all Jews for the proof of human brotherhood furnished them by the Church during the years of persecution and when their lives were placed in danger by the Nazi and fascist barbarity. Many times, priests suffered prison and concentration camps, sacrificing their own lives to assist the Jews by every means.
I hope you found this feature I put together for you interesting. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.